Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Alior Bank's full year 2015 results announcement. Today, our speakers are Wojciech Sobieraj, CEO, Witold Skrok, CFO, and Barbara Smalska, Deputy CEO, responsible for Technology and Development Unit. Please start the presentation.
Cash loans that were launched in mid of 2015. We were strict on cost income ratios. The increase of cost at 8.8% year on year, I think, proves our strategy of low cost interest. Cost income outlook for the next 2-3 years, we will be we are already excluding the one-offs below 50%, and we'd like to get to a 48% level. We've kept our cost of risk cost at 2.3. We do not have any intentions to go lower using the favorable macroeconomic conditions as some of our competitors to lower the cost of risk. We would like to stay where we are, gaining the market share and fighting for especially small business units and family financing, including consumer finance and cash loans. On the next page, page 4, we've delivered what we've promised, i.e. the smooth merger with Meritum, with the cost equal to the synergies within the first year. So we've completed the merger within 12 months from signing to operational merger, bearing in mind that two banks had different IT systems. So this proves that our flexible architecture in IT really works. T-Mobile cooperation really it's up and running now in Poland. With cash loans now on daily sales of cash loans above 1 million, the cooperation is already profitable on a monthly basis, and the first quarter in profitability of cooperation should be the first quarter of this year. We are starting the cooperation with extending the cooperation with T-Mobile to Romania. We got all necessary approvals, and we are ready to enter the market in the second quarter 2016. We already hiring people. The IT teams are really working hard to start and to offer product range that is similar to those to the product range that is offered now within T-Mobile Polska, but these products will be offered at the much more attractive from the price point of view market. Tesco and other white label alliances are also being developed, and Last but definitely not least, the strategic initiatives, cooperation with Pezeto, all these initiatives are starting. And we hope to be ready with some big announcement later during the year. Last page from my side, page six, full of numbers, and what I can say, despite the 30% growth on the loan book and 38% growth on the deposit side, as you see, the bank, we were really, really trying hard not to make the 2015 the first year where the net profit is lower than in 2014. However, the one-off hits of fourth quarter really were difficult to offset. Without these two charges for BFG and for the mortgage relief fund, we would get into above 360 million. So, which is quite, I guess, remarkable. Operating income growth in 16%, and the cost, excluding one-off costs, at 8.8% level growth proves our strategy that Alior is able to bring more business into the current infrastructure. Obviously, we are happy with the much better loan-to-deposit ratio. We have now the buffer for starting the credit launch from the appropriate deposit point of, base point of view, and we are working hard to get our Tier 1 ratio, which is currently at 9.7, to the level that is appropriate and meets the kind of requirements at 10.25. We will do that through the guarantee of part of our loan portfolio. That would be the capital relief from the risk-weighted asset point of view. This will be the action that the talks are really, really well advanced, and it will be finalized in the first quarter of this year. Then, obviously, we'll, as usually, we will retain all the earnings into on a semi-annual basis in 2016. So the details on the loan book and the business, I pass it over to Vítek.
Thank you. So page 7, in last quarter 2015, we experienced very solid growth of loan book, 5% quarter to quarter. And what is extremely important that in all segments and all products we are growing quite fast, slightly faster in the SME segment. This is our strategy which we launched in the last quarter to open the door a bit wider for this segment. For 2016, we expect EU funds will come, and it will accelerate demand for from this segment. As Wojtek mentioned, we managed and the issue which we faced, especially in the second quarter. You remember the fight and hard competition in the cash loan segment. Third quarter. That was the first sign of recovery, and in the last quarter we proved that this issue has been solved. Page 8 showed that deposit follow loan growth. We don't see any war deposit, and our pricing is just in the middle. We are not launching any promotion to attract the deposit. And if you look at this loan deposit ratio, 92, this slightly below our target, which we shared with you, that 95, this is something which we really appreciate and treat as a medium-term target. Due to certain discussion which we have with our regulator, we have to shift a significant amount of deposit from the financial segment into not stable base as a deposit. So this is why we have to collect more term deposit to meet these requirements. On the next slide, credit risk review. If you look at the corporate and retail, there's just ordinary pace of business. For the corporate NPL ratio, slightly higher than in the last quarter, but nothing special. And the coverage ratio slightly lower, but this is a stable level, so no surprises, positive or negative. If you look at the retail, mainly this is a cash loan, there's a gradually growth, which will allow us to dispose NPL portfolio in the course of 2016. But if you look at the coverage ratio, stable, safe level. What is the new is in the mortgage in the last quarter with a, let's say, having a letter from KNF, which all banks got it, plus discussion with our regulator, we decided to change assessment for the individual mortgage portfolio for the big tickets, and we applied a statistical model for that. So this is why we increase the coverage, and also the part of that portfolio was classified as a NPL. On the next page, page 10, we have a net interest margin development. So we are keeping position of the leader in the segment, 4.6, slightly above what we experienced in the last two quarters. I think that this is a good guidelines for 2016. Next slide 11, fee and commission. Well, I'm not satisfied with this result. Almost 80 million zloty net fee and commission. This is slightly above what we expect as a medium-term target, which is 90 million zloty. Here we have two reasoning for that. The first one, the sales of structured investment products. It was very, very weak in the last quarter. You know the reason why this sale is above our targets. So this is the first reason. And the second reason, we created 4 million zloty provisions for non-active customer. This is why we observed a slightly drop in the fee and commission line. Next slide, slide 12, capital position. So ROE adjusted to this one-off will be slightly below what we experienced, but still strong, 11.1%. If you look at the capital ratio, Wojtek just mentioned that, let's say, the first quarter will be tackled with a capital relief. So a loan volume growth will not be limited. It's not our target. So what we experienced in the last quarter, 1.5 billion zloty new volume, we expect that this will be also repeated in the first quarter, and through guarantee which we expect to have from two big players, we will get equity relief, and the ratio at the end of first quarter will be above the level set by our regulator. If you look at the slide 13, Wojtek just mentioned that we experienced one-digit cost growth. So this is due to very restrictive cost control, integration cost in line. So what we estimated 1 year ago, this is exactly what we finished the integration with the Meritum. If you add those two components, mortgage relief fund and SK Bank charges, this is a one-off, which I hope will not happen in this year, and it will allow us to keep the cost under control, one-digit growth. This is something what we expected for 2016. Thank you.
And back to from cost to development. Sorry. We have added over 300,000 clients to our customer base this year, and for the last two quarters we've been growing by more than 30,000 customers per quarter, minus some customer base cleanup performed in the first quarter of this year with new pricing policies. We have priced out some of the inactive customers which Witold mentioned a moment ago, which resulted with some write-offs. We have almost 3 million customers, and still some work to do with activation of these customers, with new CRM and new organization of the product division. We hope to increase the product penetration with this base. We also have one of the most extensive distribution networks in Poland. For the moment, we consider the 1,500 outlets together with T-Mobile and Tesco, including 800 own branches and own agencies, as the optimum network for the moment. However, we cannot preclude further reductions depending on market conditions and switch of customers to internet and mobile channels. Strategic initiatives, as Wojtek mentioned, we have started cooperation with our new main shareholder, PZU. We have started working on 10 initiatives ranging from offering of each other's product to Alior and to PZU, to own employee and partner agent customer bases, utilizing each other distribution networks, selected CRM initiatives, going all the way to cost initiatives, common sourcing, looking for back office process synergies and so on, and also a cooperation on capital base to help us strengthen the capital base for the future. And important cooperation with T-Mobile, as Wojtek mentioned, we have seen big growth in loan portfolio with T-Mobile, almost doubling of the portfolio since second quarter of 2015, more than 200,000 new customers acquired from this cooperation. New product launched in 2015, finance of the handsets for the customers and a special offer for current accounts with cashback. We are planning for this year telecom banking bundles agreed already with T-Mobile and introduction of completely new internet and mobile banking, of which the development is based on the mobile-first philosophy for the telecom. And the next interesting development, in August last year, we have signed similar agreement to what we had in T-Mobile Poland with T-Mobile Romania. This is a very interesting market for us, fast-growing with incomes of the population more or less on 60% of the income in Poland, but the banking market still a little bit underdeveloped with a big potential of introducing a new, a little bit disruptive entrant as T-Mobile. With Alior,
A couple of months after signing the agreement, we have got all the necessary consents of the Polish and Romanian regulatory authorities. We are right now working on IT side in both in Poland and Romania on developing the internet mobile bank applications for the employees in branches, as well as integration with ANAF and Transfor, which will enable us to offer loans utilizing the salary information of the customers. This is something where the Romanian market is even more developed than in Poland. It will enable us to keep the credit risk relatively low. And as mentioned, we are hoping to start in the middle of the year with this cooperation.
Page 21, for 2016, I think big summary is on this page. We would like in 2016 to have the results that is above the results that we achieved in 2014, which might not sound very inspiring, but adding on the top of that 140 million zloty that we will pay in banking tax means that from without this taxation and without the one-off, we are planning to move from 363, which was without the one-offs, into the areas you expect us, because this is the consensus of you analysts and investors. You are telling us to move into the territory of 460, and we are not saying no to that. Alior is geared, is prepared to move faster. We see the market opportunities in consumer lending, in small business, when we launched really the big campaign, new products, with aggressive pricing. We'd like to build the positions in this segment. We are not changing the business model at all with a high net interest margin and cost income without, obviously, banking taxation will go below the 48% level. Cost of risk, as I mentioned earlier, we're not planning to reduce, although there are some indications in the economy that it would be really the lowest hanging fruit will be to dissolve some of our provisions, but I think this we would like to maintain and grow our position in consumer lending and small business, as I mentioned earlier, with a loan growth of back to 5 billion level, which is more than 1.2 per quarter. So this is what Alior is ready to do. We've finalized the merger from the operational technical point of view. We are ready for other opportunities on the merchant market if they arise. And the one issue that I mentioned on the first page and then VTEC addressed is that in the first quarter, within the month of March, we will finalize the agreement with two very respected providers, basically finding us the risk-weighted asset capital relief, making guarantees on part of our portfolio. So we will be above the level of the capital that is required by the regulator in this aspect. So this is the plan for 2016 in a nutshell, and it will be what I can say to go from 360 to 460 million. As the target set by the market for us, it is ambitious. But I think that doing the numbers and doing the calculations and reviewing the strategy, we are ready to take this challenge. We do have the fourth largest distribution base. We do have 66,000 client people at the branches to serve the clients. We have solid internet and mobile banking, which we are still trying to improve and make it even better. We are flexible. We prove that we can change. We are committed to the low cost income philosophy, so our costs will not grow more than our income this year for sure. Our cost growth will be at the one digit level at the most. We will be investing in the good people, but at the same time we need to be open for the new challenges. And I'm not talking about the taxation, I'm not talking about the price competition in some segments, but mostly the biggest challenge for us and for all the retail and small business banking in Poland and in Europe and worldwide probably is the migration of the challenge of the clients to remote channels. Needless to say, the level of traffic and transactions at the branches on the Polish market, not only in Alior, declines year on year, but by more than 20% store by store. So if we thought like retailers, the migration to electronic channels has started and will not be stopped by any means I can think of. So this is important factor that we must facilitate and accommodate our clients with the channels and products that they like. Alior strongly would stay and hold to our pricing philosophy, which will be very generous for the clients that treat us as a bank of the first choice. We are not planning to introduce any extra charges. We are still, for those clients, all our ATM machines are for free in Poland and worldwide. We are giving all the fringe benefits for them. We are not ready, basically, to offer this service for everyone, especially someone that treats us only as a kind of transactional bank. But I think what Wojciech has mentioned was a huge investment, over 50 million zloty last year, that we spent on a new engines and data centers for the CRMs. We will be better to service our clients with a better products and better pricing, better channels in 2016. I must say that today the number of clients is already above 3 million, so it's 3.05 as of this morning, and I think we will we'll try to rebuild also our position in fees and commission. I think we are not satisfied with the level that was presented this year, and we'll be working to get more of our client base into the kind of first bank relationship. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. And now we are ready to start the question and answer session. One willing to ask the question, please just let me know, and then we will follow to the remote audience.
Thank you very much, Dariusz Górski. You have assured us that your capital ratios will be fine or adequate at the end of the first quarter, but I have an impression that you actually hinted at a whole range of actions aimed at improving your capital ratios, whereas now you're only referring to the guarantees. Has the other options waned or expired?
The other options, I think, that we cannot talk about.
Okay. Second question, because ultimately, if you're still looking for 5 billion growth in lending, you probably need a little bit more money than, or need capital than you would get from the guarantee scheme.
Retained earnings and guarantee schemes will allow us to go at 4.2 billion, 4.2, 4.5. You're right. In order to go to 5 billion, either we generate more on the revenue on the net profit side in the first half of this year, or there will be these opportunities that I cannot talk about now.
Okay. On PZU, I understand that at the moment you're cooperating with a number of insurers, and you Is there a goal ultimately that PZU will become the sole provider of insurance products, or is there a predefined share of PZU products in your mix? And if so, is there no risk that if the product are more expensive or less competitive than the ones you're currently offering, that you might suffer on the margin front or on the income front?
Because there's no predefined ratio of PZU product in our bancassurance portfolio. We are now cooperating with a number of providers. And we are discussing with PZU on a number of products. But of course, whatever we do, we have to keep in mind the competitiveness of the product, and we have to keep in mind that our relation is strictly commercial, so we cannot go into pricing that will not be approved by the regulators of this market.
Also, I think it works both ways. The transfer pricing from PZU, as well as the arm's length approach from Allier, is kept in our relationship. So we will be bundling, we'll be developing the products, I hope, and soon it will be it will be passed to the clients, but we will be, we are, and we will be free to choose our bank assurance providers based on kind of free market principle.
Okay. And the final question for me is on your thoughts on the 500 plus subsidy scheme. I assume the answer will be that it will be positive for the cost of risk in the segment, but do you expect, and if so, what implications for demand for consumer lending?
First of all, we believe that this is a great opportunity for us. Allier, as you might know, we are in the possession of extended solutions to service mass market clients. We do have the skill bill facilities at our branches. We have extended networks, and we are in one of the top first three banks that enter cooperation with the governments to be able to distribute the and applications and then funds for the 500 plus. So all the families are welcome to our branches to avoid the havoc of kind of municipalities and other ways to apply. Also, it will be possible through our electronic banking by the first. So this is the first level of opportunity that we see in this in the 500 plus program. We do have we are already working on the packages for the families that we hope will be beneficial for them to grow the lending side rather than repaying the existing loans. So that's why in the strategy that we are putting here, we are not hope we are more inclined into the demand push by the 500 plus in the retail business rather than improvement of the loan portfolio. And we will we'll be ready to introduce the new packages. For instance, nowadays we start the lending 2016 in retail banking with something unique on the market. We are now launched a campaign giving the clients 30% discounts for what we call the damage-free riding. So if they have clean credit bureau portfolio records, we are giving them a discount, which we were kind of inspired by our insurance owner to pass it over from the insurance business into the banking sector, which is something unique. And then we are working on a package that is linked with 500 plus program.
Do we have any further questions?
It's Palinka, NG. I have two questions. One regarding integration costs. Do you expect any integration costs in 2016 related to Meritum merger? And secondly, regarding liquidity, you mentioned that low loan deposit ratio. is the result of some suggestions from Polish FSA regarding stable funding measures. Do you plan to get rid of these financial deposits in the future as they are not included? And in the situation of financial of banking tax, they seem to be pretty unprofitable.
All costs related to the Merito merger have been booked in 2015, and no integration cost in 2016, at least integration cost with Meritum. The second question, this is from the liquidity standpoint, we have the this ratio which we communicate with you, loan-to-deposit ratio, and we have the regulator measures. So to meet the regulator measures, we have to reclassify deposit from financial sector, mainly from GFI and open funds, as not stable. So it will require to collect term deposits, which according to KNF are classified as a stable. But this is a relation with a customer, so we don't expect to put any penalties to those customers who keep those deposits with us. We rather try to optimize the other deposits to have a smaller, to have a higher ratio. But please bear in mind that let's say there is no direct impact when we have a more deposit and we invest those deposits in the treasury bills, which are tax exempt. This element will not be treated as an incremental growth of the tax banking tax.
Kamil Stolarski, Haitong Bank. Two questions on your capital. First would be, do you think of guarantees as a temporary solution or something that is going to stay in your books? And second would be, assuming you are successful with all these steps, you would be operating at the minimum level of capital required by Polish FSA, then some sudden one-off, market one-off could bring you under the water. And I wonder, do you think that it's possible to operate like for a number of quarters with this level, or do you think that something will actually happen to your capital position, like a merger, or what is your base scenario?
The guarantee for the part of our portfolio is by nature the temporary solution. It's temporary to the next merger, and that links to your second question. I think there's no intention of Alior to operate at 10.25 and not having a buffer for any one-offs and so on, like we were hit in the fourth quarter with the SK Bank and the fund and the banking tax. And Alior was not operated in the thing. We were never ever overcapitalized, but our buffer was there. It was the one-off events that eat up our buffer, and the guarantee is only temporary solution. In the longer term, Alior is not satisfied with the position with the 3.54% of the market share. Alior is able to our infrastructure, as I mentioned a number of times, is ready to service not 3 million clients, but 7 million clients, and in the mid to long term, I guess mergers are inevitable. So I think the long-term solution will be for the bigger Alior.
Okay, thank you for that. Maybe general question that I would have about some investors commenting that one might think about Alior as a state-owned bank. And I wonder if you could somehow comment on the independence, or how does it feel like at Alior? Has this after the PZU, is the situation changed much from your perspective? Or?
I think our shareholder base is pretty much known. It's three quarters of Alior is in the free float. Polish and international investors. The third tranche of the Carlo Tesara PZU transaction is now being finalized. So PZU will be at the 25% level alone. Do we feel like a state-owned bank? No, we don't. I think it's fair to say that because of the changes in the management in PZU, it's a little bit situation similar to us as with the T-Mobile at the beginning of 2015, when I mentioned we had a one quarter of delay to start our Lewandowski campaign because of the old changes in the management board of the local T-Mobile. So we had our plans. They left, now the new guys. We lost one quarter. At the end of the year, we are in full speed selling over 1 million loans per day, which is to say that we are back on track with T-Mobile. Our feeling is that we are experiencing exactly the same phenomenon with PZU. It's a natural. One team is gone, the other team is coming. There are some passovers between one and the other team. Basha and the team from our side is ready to launch these 10 initiatives. They will be launched. We do have a good cooperation on the daily basis with PZU. And I think this is the only material change that has that is in our daily business in Alior so far.
Okay, thank you for that. And if you don't mind, some detailed question about the results of fourth quarter, cost of risk, especially in retail segment. I think this cost of risk as retail as a record high, 138 million, according to the calculation that I done. And I wonder, maybe you could provide us with the split between mortgages and consumer loans, or what has actually happened during this quarter. The macro environment looked quite strong. And
We will provide the split, obviously, between the we'll send the information over. The split between the cost of risk in mortgages and the cost of risk in retail lending. I think in retail lending we haven't changed at all our policies. We haven't. We were not pushed into lower classes. It's just a continuation, as you just mentioned. Maybe in the third, maybe in the fourth quarter, we will have another part of our portfolio on non-performing loans to be up for sale at the level of between 500 and 750 million quarter, which will, at the end of the year, bring back the ratio of the consumer lending into the maybe below 11 or close to 10%. Mortgages, I think one document that is very important, and I found it after years of operations in the Polish bank, on the Polish banking sector, the one document is that usually KNF puts on their pages the summary of the discussions of 2014 between the KNF and the auditors. So it's like a guidance for the auditors what to look at the next year. I was stupid enough not to read this document very carefully in the years earlier. I think it shows that wherever possible, the bank should move from individual identification of losses on the mortgages into the group models. And for the first time, we used the group model for our mortgage portfolio, which basically brought our portfolio very much in line, you know, or closer to the market standards, and that is the one-off increase in the NPLs and at the same time with the coverage ratios for mortgages.
there's no material deterioration of portfolio whatsoever in this aspect. We will provide you with the split.
Well, I think that let's say I'm a bit more optimistic than Wojtek, because if you look at the last quarter results, this adjustment that was, frankly speaking, shall be spread over the four quarters. So without this, I think that let's say we would experience as an overall cost of risk at the level of 2.2. So. I think that this what we put as a target 2.3 2016 is just a conservative approach, and I'm pretty sure that let's say it will give us a certain buffer in the course of this year.
Could you quantify what was the impact of this implementation of group model in nominal value?
Nominal value is 30 million zlot.
And on fee and commission income, two questions. First is in cost of fees, the client acquisition cost went up materially from being insignificant to more than 15 million in the fourth quarter. What happened then? There and then. Commissions, the sales of cash loans were quite strong, and despite that, quarter on quarter, you had double-digit decrease in fees from loans and insurance. And why this disproportion here?
Mm-hmm. So first, cost of acquisition of the customer. Those customers who we acquired from T-Mobile, we bear the as a cost, and according to our approach, we amortize them over the lifetime. So it's not booked as a when the invoice comes, but we spread over the five years. And the auditor identified that a certain portion of the customer which we acquire in 2014 are still not active. And he asked to book those costs and not recognize them over the period which I mentioned. So this is an explanation to 4 million zloty, which we booked as an additional cost of acquisition of customers. Correct. We have the second question about the revenue. Here we have if you look at the structure of our fee and commission, so we have a 1 million in one part, 1 million in another part, so there is no any significant amount which one of which explain this. The most important is the issue here is a structured product which we haven't sold as we expected, and here we have the gap on the revenue side.
Krzysztof Stępinka, BC. I have a similar question to my colleague, but much more personal. Has anything changed in your feeling of your future as a head of Alior after change of CEO of PZU?
Oh, it's really, really personal. I think it's fair to say that Alior now, when we looked at 2015, it was a really hectic year with all these macroeconomic changes, with change of ownership, with the acquisition of Meritum. And I think it was one of the most active years in with Romania, with the T-Mobile launch, really. So it's it was probably the most busy, the busiest year since 2012 when we got into the Warsaw Stock Exchange. I believed earlier, and I still would like to confirm that Alior has much more potential for growth and for taking the bigger place in the Polish banking scene. If I succeed, and I believe that we will, Alior will be ending up the year with a much bigger Alior. If I fail, it means that Alior still will be part of something bigger. But I believe that we strongly will work on the first scenario to use, not because we believe that we are so great, but because we do have this advantage with our experience in mergers, with our IT systems, and with our operations. And I think that I'm, if you ask me personally, I'm willing and able to take this challenge on me with the team, obviously. So we're moving forward as planned.
I will have a technical question to 4Q results, and actually it's on slide 25. I'm just wondering what happened with the net with interest income, interest expenses. They are up significantly quarter on quarter in the range of 200-300 million Polish złoty. Whether there was a change in the accounting, some one-off, should we spread out over the entire 2015, or it's just applicable to 4Q?
So I like this technical question from Pani Iza. So this is just a reclassification of IRS from a trading result to interest income, and it happened in the last quarter, but this adjustment shall be spread over the entire year.
If we split up this over the entire year, it will have a positive or negative impact on 4Q net interest income. So without this adjustment, the net interest income would be higher?
Yes.
Okay. And my second question is like a follow-up on this guarantee that you are talking about. Could you give us some flavor how much it can cost you, how it can affect the net interest income, and then the cost of risk?
You are referring to the guarantee, which let's say this is a commercial issue. So I'm not going to share the because if I share the impact on the revenue, you will be able to calculate the spread which we will pay, but it's not it's a reasonable price below, even slightly below what is in the market. So with the price which will the best player will get.
But this transaction, when concluded, should also somehow lower your cost of risk on this portfolio, basically secured.
No. Is it just let's say because the portfolio will still stay in our book?
So what kind of risk you are transferring to the other party?
The risk associated with because we have the collateral. The portfolio, we selected the portfolio of the corporate to be treated as a collateral for the transaction. And it doesn't mean that the credit risk will be shifted on this respective company.
But you are getting the relief in the risk-weighted assets.
Yes.
Like 90% of risk-weighted assets is a credit risk.
Mm-hmm.
So you are getting a relief, but you are not transferring a credit risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't understand.
Okay, so let's have a detailed talk on that.
Okay, so I suggest if there are no further questions, I suggest, or any one last question? Okay.
My usual question referring to FX business, which has ups and downs, but nonetheless the trend is upward, and I was wondering if this momentum or rate of growth could be continuing, and more precisely, were there any particular one-off reasons behind the strength of this line in 4Q, or was it just a business-driven or volume-driven?
This, I think the FX business is strong when the volatility is strong, and it's 90% of our volumes are coming and revenues are coming from small and mid-sized companies, and looking now at the results of the first quarter, when we've seen some volatilities, and I think we'll have a pretty strong growth on the FX income in 2016. You might remember that we are overexposed to the Polish exporter segment. So the better, the weaker the złoty, the more exports, the better it is for Alior. That's why we already started the fight for even the fees and commission. We lower the charges for small companies to become to strengthen our growth in this segment. We are not satisfied with 132,000 clients from small and mid-sized companies, and we'll push this segment in 2016. What's more on FX? Oh, and we believe that the FX will be a very important part of our revenue from cooperation with Telecom Romania, contrary to what we are doing in Poland over there. It's they don't have cinchar.
All right, so operator, please open the line if there are any questions from the audience present on the conf call to give them a chance.
Thank you. It is star and one on your telephone if you wish to ask your question. And we have a request from the line of Sobiesław Kozłowski of Raiffeisen. Please go ahead. Hey, Mr. Kozłowski has actually dropped. Next question from the line of Marta Wasilewska, Wood & Company. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to have a follow-up question to what Iza has asked with regards to net interest income. You mentioned that there was an adjustment for the full year 2015, and it negatively affected net interest income. If this was adjustment connected with some trading income, could you clarify, and maybe this could explain the strength of the trading result in the fourth quarter. Should we also make similar adjustments in this line with regards to 4Q analysis?
Yes, let's say this adjustment should be made in both line, net interest income and trading income.
If it's not too much of an issue, could we just learn what was the scale of just quarterly adjustment for net interest income and trading result in the fourth quarter, just to get a better understanding?
Yes, here we have income and expenses shown in the as a net result, but in the trading income, the net was slightly around seven million zlot in net.
Thank you.
Your next question from the line of Alan Webber, Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. One sort of precision on Q4. I mean, clearly your sale of structured products wasn't acceptable to you in Q4. Could you just say sort of why, what was going on? I mean, in previous years, you seem to have had a slightly better sort of Q4 and you didn't have one overall in fees. So, you know, I appreciate you said that they weren't good, but why weren't they good, and what are you doing to change that? And do you feel confident that you can get back to this 90 million a quarter in 2016? So that would be helpful. And then, I suppose, secondly, a more sort of general strategic question, that your much larger peers in Poland have clearly pulled back quite significantly on their loan growth outlook for 2016. Maybe it's to tell the government they don't want to pay the bank levy, I'm not sure, but clearly their volume outlooks are much worse than they were a few months ago. And yet your volume outlook, albeit from a lower starting point, is pretty similar. I mean, do you think the competitive position for Alior is now stronger than it was a few months ago? I mean, appreciating that you need to fund that growth, but in terms of the competitive environment where you can do business in your chosen areas, I mean, how do you feel the competitive position is today and looking forward compared to where it was, say, 3 to 4 months ago before the reality of the bank levy was in people's minds? Thank you.
Hey. Two questions. First, the structured products. I think this was the worst quarter on the Warsaw Stock Exchange and capital markets worldwide in years. Offering these products in an all MiFID compliant way to sophisticated clients through our private banking, through affluent advisors and through brokerage house. I think, to put it mildly, this was not the best macroeconomic and capital markets related environment to push this product to the clients. If you can look how big demand it was for the deposits among the Polish retail banks, although the interest rate on deposits was very small. I think it explains the logic of private individuals staying away from more risky products, from mutual funds and structured products. I think the confidence with this class of assets will come back, but not immediately. Also, we are looking for more for different classes of assets, not necessarily linked with the equities, that we can substitute in our offer for affluent and private clients, private banking clients. So this is the question to. Question number one. Question number two, I think what's going on the Polish market is very similar to the situation that we experienced when Alior was entering the market in 2008. The underlying economy is quite strong. It's stronger than in other parts of Europe. Yet at the same time, because of the macroeconomic environment, banking sector troubles, at the banking mother levels, as well as some unfavorable macroeconomic movements on the Polish market, namely the banking taxation, some players are less active. So demand is there, and my personal feeling is that some mid-sized and smaller branches, smaller banks, are now in the process of rethinking of their strategic positioning in Poland, which opens the door for us, especially in, I'm not talking about the retail segment, it's mostly small and mid-sized companies that we could, we see stronger demand measured by number of working capital and investment bank and investment loan applications by smaller and mid-sized companies, and we believe it's just the beginning, because the full bloom of the EU finance projects is not there yet. It will be it will start we hope May May, June. So, long story short, the demand is there. The some of our competitors are much less active.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much. Then I think that we have already run out of time. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today at our annual presentation. And this concludes our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.